don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. The air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crying in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm, and it is a pleasure, as always, to be here, and I appreciate you taking the time to out of your day. There's so many other things that you can do. Luckily, we try to make it easy for you. You just turn us on in the background, and there we are talking at you or with you or to you, depending on how you're looking at it. I just appreciate you doing that. Real quick, before we get into things today, take a moment to click that like button. It only takes literally that click, boom, one of the biggest things you can do to support the show. And you can follow me as well at Toward Anarchy on Facebook and X and Rumble and YouTube. And if you can't find me in one of those places, find me always at towardanarchy.com. It's episode 2618. And if you were to go there, you'd see Dr. Dean Lloyd is my guest, and you'll know him from evolvingthespecies.com fame. He's been on the show once or twice before. We've had a conversation or two over the years, and we share this love of this fun book that he introduced me to by his friend Am Rosen called Cruising the Epiphany Highway. And every once in a while when he's reading something to us, that'll be where he's reading from. And otherwise, we just have these wonderful conversations about health and empowering people. And we have this show that we do live every Wednesday across Republic Broadcasting Network that is just the two of us doing just that, taking live phone calls from all around the world, answering people's questions about health and healthcare. Well, I don't do much answering. Dr. Lloyd does. And it works out. It's fantastic. We've had some wonderful conversations, and just always a pleasure to have Dr. Lloyd around. And do us a favor while you're at it, support Republic Broadcasting, republicbroadcasting.org. Click on that donate button. It's right over there on the left-hand side on every single page. It's real simple, easy to do. Otherwise, call somebody, call us, 800-724-2719. Extension 3 is where you go. You can get the address, you can get more information about how you can support Republic Broadcasting. And of course, shop RBN.com for the win-win. You support the advertisers, they continue to buy advertising. We continue to be able to feed the cage. That's part of it, the producers. You have to keep them caged, because at the rates they work, it's, you know, it's peanuts, I think. Dr. Mm-hmm. Lloyd, always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thank you for making the time once again. We always seem to be so busy, and it's the world always give you more to do than time to do it in.
Oh, yeah. No, you and I talk a lot about running out of energy as being an issue that some people deal with. Well, everybody deals with at some point, but it's not energy that I tend to run out of. It's definitely time. There's definitely more to do than there is time to do it. And especially when you're somebody like me and I have a healthy disrespect for time. I really don't care for it at all. I respect other people's time, but to me, time is nothing. I'm just doing what I'm doing at the time, and that's all that matters.
Right. Well, in so far as that, we have been getting more dialed in or more specific about what we put our attention on, I thought that it would be important to make it clear where we're going with this show versus the other show. And the other show that we do is Your Health and Mind, where I talk about facilitating mind-body integration and how to approach health. I talk about with you the health concerns that we're dealing with currently, you know, current events. And I pick different topics, and Michael, of course, gives me his feedback. And I need that feedback because I can tailor my discussion around what your needs are. So that show is a very useful tool by my view, because doctors talk on shows that will bring up topics that, whether they're about the immune system, about detoxification, about depression, about any of these topics. And there's some that I do respect, some that I don't have. Yeah, I wouldn't give them, you know, 10 seconds of my time. But what we're trying to achieve here isn't something that's half-baked. A little bit of happiness, great. You know, my elbow pain's gone and I feel better, and that's great, you know, because I was hurting there for a while when I was playing tennis. So my tennis elbow is gone. That's great. A little bit of happiness. I'm talking about big happiness. I'm talking about grandiose, just wonderful, excited about life, to participate in life, see its purpose, and move in that space with the awareness that there's a place to go. Most of the time, and please give me your feedback on this, but most of the time I see people just trying to get away from their problem and not knowing where they're going. Is that something that you can relate to or see in your comic book shop?
Yeah, it's something that happens everywhere. I see it all over the place. It's not something that I practice a lot myself. I try to deal with problems head on, just because I don't like them lingering. It bogs me down. It makes me feel like there's things that I need to do when I could be doing something else. So I just try to get things done right away. But there's always something. That's one of the things I've been up to over the last few weeks. There's been so much change in my life over the last few weeks, and it's required all this adjusting. There's so much happening right now. My youngest daughter moved out. Our old puppy died. The old man is shifting in his needs, and I'm getting some of my space back. I'm realigning all of my space around me, and so I'm feeling more comfortable, and things are more accessible, and they're in the places where they need to be instead of sort of piled up somewhere else because there's just nowhere else to put them. So I'm going through that right now, tackling all of these things head on. But I see most people just trying to avoid the problems, put them off as long as they can, instead of addressing them head on. And it's usually just, even no matter what, whether you win or lose, it's better to just deal with it head on, because otherwise it is just there lingering, and there's nothing worse than the sort of lingering doubt, unanswered questions, things that need to be done when they're not, when they're just, they're important for what they are, but they just don't mean, you know, they're not world ending. They're not the things that are necessarily going to sustain us, but they're still the things that we need to manage and do on a daily basis, help the other people around us, do the work, do the, you know, all the stuff that none of us really want to do. We'd all just love to just lay around in the sun like a cat and play. And you know, it just, I know that's what I want to do, but there are all these other things that we've chosen in our life. You know, I have to have computers and comic books and things like that, and laying around in the sun and you know, purring all the time, it just doesn't necessarily get those things into my life. And so I personally, I get why people do it, but I feel terrible when there's just, it can be the most simple thing. It can be, people don't realize how, especially in a world like today. So here's an interesting idea. So if you're watching the video, I'm holding up a little micro card. Actually, it's just a reader of one of the SD cards, a standard SD card, but it's for a micro. You put the little itty bitty one in there. And so you kind of see the outline about how big it is. It's like the size of a dime. So mm-hmm. just imagine if you have something in your life the size of a dime, just files or something on a computer, on one of these devices that you shouldn't have, that somebody else needs to have, work that needs to be done on them, just whatever it is. You have this little thing, this itty bitty little dime sized thing that has all of this important stuff on it that needs to be done. And that's this itty bitty little minuscule nothing in your life in terms of its size and its value, because everything on it is digital. But just think how much that whatever it is that's on there that needs to be done that you haven't done, or that somebody isn't supposed to know about, that you should just get rid of, those things that we're carrying around. I just imagine how many of those little things there are that add up to the weight that people carry around on them every single day.
Yeah, that's another part I was going to discuss about pacing yourself. Like how good are we at doing that? And if we are doing, like you said, you know, you're multitasking sometimes, or you're, you know, being asked to perform all kinds of tasks. You wear many different hats. You know, I'm a musician. I'm a healer. I'm a friend to humanity. I'm a swimmer. I'm all these different things. But whatever you are, it always comes back to doing it with purpose. And you can't do it without having that inner peace. In other words, if you're chaotic and you're scattered in your mind, you're not clear, you're not moving in the direction that you know where you're going, I want to clear that up for people. I want to make it so that they can have the tools that they may not have been brought into this world with, that they've been begging for, because what I want to offer is psychologically infallible tools, and I have them. And for me to make that statement, I encourage being challenged, intelligent challenges, not spouting out obscenities and saying, you know, you're full of SHI, whatever. But anyway, you're in. I would take on any of those challenges, because at this point, right now, we are seeing the de-evolution of a species that should be going in the other direction. It shouldn't be as this complicated. It is being brought into our focus in the media, obviously, in schools, in workplace, wherever you're seeing people. And it would be really surprising to see if there was a company or a school or your family situation that didn't know that that there's no foundation right now in going in the direction that is allowing us to be cohesive as a group. Right, as a country, we're fragmented in the greatest fragmentation I've ever seen, you know, in my lifetime. But what I've seen is that people don't go deep enough for me on the radio a lot of times. I'm not saying that in a critical way. It's just that I'm not into the surface. I realize that people put a lot of energy in government as kind of this is the problem, and the solution, you know, doesn't come from politicians. Got it. Obviously, that's not where it's going to come from. It's got to come from us demanding what we need, goods and services, whatever it is that we want to direct our energy. Now, how do you achieve that if you have no access to the current government, which we don't? We don't have abilities to change things through any of the methods that are out there. They've been, you can call them co-opted. You can say that they've been that way for a while. It's just now to the extreme. Yeah, you know, we don't have power there. But I'm not being sucked in by that energy, and nor are you. We're in a different category. And when it's so outside of what people have been toilet trained and brought up with, their programming has to shift. And that's what this next series, these series of five that I'm going to be doing, It's I'm referring to it as the heart of the matter, which Dr. Rosen and I worked on before he passed, and it's the most useful tools that I've seen psychologically ever formed. So I'm going to talk about the first one, because this is the introduction to this. Okay, I want to give a foundation for it. Number one is self-worth. I'm going to be talking about enabling you, the individual, to intrinsically feel, not just think they feel, that they are loved, blessed, and deserving of the best, to get the client or patient to stop punishing themselves through subconscious denial. Okay, that's the first one. Okay, that's starting the ball. So you get rid of this guilt. You know, the only way that I'm going to be holy is by suffering. You know, that hidden subconscious part of us that says that, you know, I can't achieve what I really want, that anti-negative type of attitude, right? Someone says to you, you can't achieve that, and you come back, and yes, I can, I'll be able to make it, I'm going to be a pianist, I'm going to be, you know, a CEO, and those are negative charges, right? So you get this can't not achieve, which is a double negative, and that's not going to get you anywhere in life that's satisfying, I submit. The second one is courage to succeed, and this one is freeing the individual from primal feelings of fear that seems to lurk in some dreaded corner of the mind. Eliminates subconscious need to sabotage or hold back your potential. So it does take a little heart and courage to do this, because with most of the world that you're around, I don't see functioning people. I see a lot of scattered energy, not directed. You know, it's easy to diagnose a culture for me. I mean, I can make that. But I'm not one who dwells in where the problems are. I see the problems and then I work on the solutions. And if I have the answers and I can mention how it works, then I have to take on the responsibility of explaining how it works, under what circumstances, and enable you the understanding and vocabulary that is able to convey the message. Okay, so I very much encourage to be challenged, but let me get the foundation for you first before you start to, you know, go there. Because it can go off in a lot of fragmented places that aren't productive. The third is personal power, which also includes sexual freedom, to enable the individual to intrinsically feel that they have their own power, that they don't have to go through any other person or system to access their personal power. For men, it is to get them to stop feeling afraid of women. For women, it's to eliminate the need to feel hatred and resentment towards men. Also, it is to get every individual to feel that their sexuality is a positive aspect of fulfilling their spiritual potential, i.e. evolution of their awareness. So it's a move forth into getting your personal power back and understanding that you're not giving it away. And this comes up a lot because there are people they'd come to me and, you know, they'll say, oh, you're so great. You know, this is amazing and all this. And I'm happy that they get that. But what I don't tolerate is them giving their power to me. If they know putting me on a pedestal, no worshiping, that's not tolerated. Because if I'm to make sense to you, then I have to have it for myself. Okay. The fourth and fifth sessions help facilitate the self-actualization of each individual's potential. Now, these are actually clinical sessions that I provide, but I'm going to give everybody in listening the foundation of how it operates so that they can understand where I'm coming from to get to the heart mastering part of this evolution that we're going through, because we are going through a massive shift in realizing that the ego, the self-image, has been operating in a lower frequency, a lower level of operation for so long that we are now being forced, because of survival in so many different ways, be it economic survival, be it planetary survival, be it, you know, health survival, family survival, whatever it happens to be. I want to talk about what goes into the fifth session, which is to facilitate clear conscious understanding of how the first three levels of perception, those what I mentioned earlier, of a process through your awareness. And the individual will become aware of how their emotional and physical problems are caused by interaction of the first three levels when under the dictates of the ego. So that's an introduction into how we're going to be talking about the heart of the matter. How does that all sound to you, Michael?
I mean, it sounds like a good start. I'm positive about all of this stuff. I really am, because it's all about individuals. It's all about talking to individuals. It doesn't have, again, you just said it just a few minutes ago, there's no solution through the state. And that's not to mean that there isn't a solution through community, but that's different than the state. That's different than the political system. That's different than our overriding social image. You know, who we are as people when we're neighbors and next to each other is so much, you know, working with each other and dealing with each other in our communities, in our individual communities, so much different than what we're labeled as you know, Americans, what people see us as through the lens that they're given, you know, the view of our government and our military and the clown show that is the presidency, regardless of who's in office. You know, the spectacle and glitz and fake plastic nonsense that is Hollywood. This is the perception of what America is and who Americans are. And it's so much more different than that. And we've set aside our self-worth, and we don't have a pro-me kind of attitude, and we don't have that courage to succeed, I think it's a really simple thing to actually build these things in people. They just have to believe that they're okay, that it's all right, and that it's okay for them to achieve these things.
Well, there is the confidence level. I mean, anything that's been put into place to reduce your inner directive. We're given all these, you need to put your attention here, and you need to put your attention here, and you need to, you know, somewhere in there, you're going to, you know, break free of your suffering. Nonsense. These people are, especially, I've not seen any real intelligent discussions as of late to explain why they're doing what they're doing. You know, these war issues, they're trying to promote fear. It's always the same thing, just putting on a different, you know, uniform or different, you know, different dress, whatever. And because they have the same message, and it's spouted out as being, you know, absolutely necessary. I've been hearing some discussions that are quite disturbing, that are related to justification of how we have to pick a fight, how we have to be the ones that stick our nose in someone's business when it doesn't belong there. And that's the only time when an energy has absolutely no business being there, I will step in. That's the then, and otherwise I let their energy, because I'm not doing anything to facilitate their process by doing it for them. I have to allow them the space to understand what they're doing and why, that gives them the opportunity to change. Because you and I, Michael, we can't change people. We're not here to do that. We're individuals that have reached a level of awareness that we're satisfied in our approaches. We go through things that are part of life, but we are not in an emotional prison. We're not seduced by these, you know, fear-based ideas. We're in a place where if something causes us fear, causes us some anger or something emotionally negative, doubt, confusion, anything that's causing, we catch ourselves. We stop and we say, all right, there's something I don't understand here. And that's the foundation of heart mastering, because once you live in the heart, everything you do and you operate from is from that fourth level of consciousness, which I'll explain more in these shows, these coming shows. Now, wouldn't that seem to be the most valuable thing you could have, is that you're operating from a place of awareness, not being confused? There's a great song by Tom Cochran from Red Rider. He's an artist. I listen to him. And he said that one of his songs is, I wonder what it's like to have it all figured out. You know, and it's that place of when you're self-actualized, you get that place where you say, well, where do I want to put my energy today? Where is it most suitable, most appropriate and effective? Now, that's true empowerment. When you can choose how to spend your energy, where it goes, and it have a purpose. Does that all sound just wonderful and exciting to me?
Yeah, it resonates with me. It's all about such a simple shift in thought about how important we are to ourselves as individuals. And it seems obvious to me, but I've been living with it for, you know, 40 plus years of awareness of who I am and who I want to be and what the world means to me. I've said it once or twice before. I'm not particularly different than I was when I was about 12 years old. I am pretty much the same person I was at that time. I still just read comic books and play games and try to be happy. I know a lot more about the world than I did when I was 12 years old, but my opinion of that world hasn't changed. My view of that world and how it should be a human-centric view, it should be an individual-centric view, hasn't changed. I believe that even America's foundation, for all that we have today, was built on the idea that we're the most important part, that we as the individuals are what's most important, that none of the rest of this is even possible without us being healthy individuals. And without us being healthy individuals, this is what you get. Everything, you know, I argue that everything that we have as a society here in America, in our Western culture, is in spite of the attempts to take the individual out of everything and to steal from us and to fund a system instead of for individuals to fund themselves and create around them the world that they want. It all resonates with me. This is what matters. This is what makes sense, because you cannot care for others. You cannot provide for others. You cannot build what others will want if you don't understand what you yourself want and need and take care of yourself and make sure that you are your priority. And that's not to suggest that everything else is sacrificed to you being a priority. That's something that we're still having to deal with as a society, coming out the backside of the boomer generation and before them. These people who still, particularly in the heart of America, whatever the hell that is, have these views of America and of people, and particularly women and society and social norms, that are friggin' outdated. man. They're so outmoded. They're so left behind. We should be so far. You said it at the beginning when you started talking that we should be so much further along as an enlightened species than we are. And not just the, you know, the technological advancements and where we could be if we weren't being constantly robbed and manipulated and controlled by governments. But just as ourselves, as individuals, empowered individuals, which would lead to, you know, it trickles up from there. People don't believe me. They always want to say that, well, how do we do it? How do we do it? How does capitalism work? How does free markets work? How does a stateless society work? How can we do this without somebody saying that there has to be rules that everybody lives by. I see it's real simple. You don't need the rules for everybody to live by. You don't need a special class of people to enforce those rules. You need every individual to be empowered to believe that they are worth protecting and that they are worth saving and supporting and just what you said, something about being the courage to succeed. Being specific to not self-sabotaging, to damaging the self, not just not succeeding, but by suggesting that, well, you know, I don't deserve this, or this isn't what I'm supposed to have based on somebody else's understanding or your own misunderstanding of somebody else's expectations of who and what you are supposed to be. If you are not first and foremost in that equation, in all the equations, you cannot build, you cannot help the others around you. Because you yourself are not stable, you yourself are not in a position to suggest that you could look at someone and say, hey, you know what, there might be a better way, or maybe I can help you with that, when you can't do anything for yourself. It's, you know, people will say that, I'm sorry for disrespecting you, the immediate thought that goes through my head is you're not disrespecting me. You're disrespecting yourself, because you can't disrespect me, because for you to disrespect me, that means I had to respect your opinion in the first place, and I don't. So you disrespecting me means nothing to me. It's you lying to yourself that you are treating me a certain way when I know better, when you should know better.
Yeah, and to launch off that, I took a couple of notes here, is that with all of the negative push, I find that they are creating their own self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, they're doing it repetitively. We're going to have a crash. We're going to have food shortages. We're going to be poisoned. We're going to, you know, all this umbrella of fear is making the culture go into that sabotage. You mentioned it, the self-sabotage, self-fulfilling prophecy. And I can just a slight adjustments needed to redirect all of that energy. I can say all of it because I know where it comes from. It's control. It's how are we going to control you? How are we going to find ways of taking your, you know, land, your energy, your money, anything of value? You know, what was the name of? I'll remember him in a minute. The hydrogen powered car, that was Myers. That was his name, Stanley Myers, came up with, and then they took that technology away from him. And it was very likely that he was murdered outside that restaurant he walked in. You know, this is because the fear, which is when you don't understand, right? Fear is that mechanism. I talk about it on the show a lot, is that fear is nothing more than when you don't understand. When you understand, you don't become afraid, which means that you are controlled by your fear. When you insist you understand, when you really don't. And that's actually going to be in the second show. The first show, I'm going to talk about the foundation of how you get self-worth. Okay, that whole...
Yeah, in case anybody's wondering, this isn't the first show. This is us talking about the first show.
Yeah, we're doing the introduction, because if people don't know where we're coming from, and I'm explaining how these things work, it's a little less... I want to prepare the ground for them to take in what I'm going to be saying, what they probably haven't heard for, you know, their whole life. You know, admit some things might be review, but, and it took me a long time, Michael, just to share something personal, for me to get the courage to call myself a philosopher, because I want to be, you know, Hippocrates and, you know, and Plato and all these famous figures. Well, they had their piece, right? And I got the unmitigated gall to say that I have mine. And to share that with everyone means that I want to explain how they got where they are. And when that is done, then change can happen, because, you know, I didn't have the ability, say, for example, 5 years old, to protect myself. You know, I was totally dependent on my parents, and I was totally dependent on getting food and all my needs met, you know. But I'm not that 5 year old, you know, little boy in my case. I am someone who has gone through all of what I would consider the patterns that had caused me to survive, what I adopted to survive, that were not adequate and appropriate for my next step in my evolution, right? Which is the same thing you were saying, is that we need an upgrade. You know, they're outdated. These patterns that people have, they say, oh, you know, you got a better idea, but I don't know how to operate, so I'm going to still operate in the old way, you know. And right now we've got this just chaotic psychological upheaval of people that are in states of depression. Anxiety is people aren't tracking properly simple things. You know, it's all being, you know, so, as you mentioned, shifted to technology as being the solution. Au contraire, that is not the solution. It is the tool that we should be mastering on our own instead of it mastering us. And that's where, you know, I will make clear enough to tell people that they don't have the most part, the medical field, because that's the one that I'm most involved with. They don't have the tools that they were taught in school, unless they did some own private, work on their own. They've meditated. They've gone to the mountains. They've practiced their mantras, whatever it is that they do. We all have to have a wholesome discipline, because if you're coming from that heart center, you've mastered the heart, it'll never hurt you. You will never hurt others. You know, I'll defend myself. That's an issue. I'll be there. No one's, you know, and get in my way. If you get in my way, I'll break you. There's nothing that stops me from doing my own purpose. Now, if you're going to, you know, threaten me and you're going to, you know, and say, you better say this, you know, I point a gun to my head or whatever. Yeah, I'll say whatever you want me to say, but it's not me. Me is that, so if the word that's been kicked around a lot is sovereign, all right? That word of sovereign, meaning individually, standalone, and uninfluenced by outer sources. Okay, so but when you're in that heart mastered place, you operate. I operate 99% of the time from that heart place. I'm still growing, right? But I come from that because it is something I understand how I got programmed. And I'm going to show our audience how to deprogram, how we're going to get to that place where it always comes from change yourself, you'll change your environment, you'll change your society, because they're going to start to ask for things that they didn't know they could, they didn't give themselves permission to ask for. And you come across this probably quite a bit, where, you know, the gift that you're giving to someone who you feel that they need something, but if you gave them that gift, they wouldn't appreciate it. They wouldn't be one that could receive that gift. Well, I want to reach those that are ready to receive this gift, if I was to make it so blunt, you know, that the information that is being shared here has been field tested. And I've been banging my head into the, you know, wall trying to figure this out so many years that when you finally get it, you're it's like the story of the monk who is walking on the trail and gets to this very high point on the mountain, and then he's holding his stick with the bag of all of his belongings, okay, and he gets to the top of the mountain and he keeps walking and walking. And he doesn't really know why he keeps doing this, but he's a wandering monk, right? So he keeps going on the path. And finally, he looks up to the sky and he realizes that he doesn't need to carry the load. So what does he do? He drops his stick with all of his belongings. It falls to the ground and he opens his arms up to the sky and says, "Ah, I can breathe. And I'm not carrying this weight anymore. I never needed to." And he looks around and he sees the beauty around him. And he says, "I see now." And what does he do? He picks up his stick with his belonging and start walking. But he's walking with all the weight off of his shoulders from his mind. He carries it with a purpose. Okay. I like that little story.
All very wonderfully metaphorical. I know the wandering monks. They're friends of mine. And yeah. That's not a joke. Wandering monks are a rap duo out of Denver, Colorado, and they've been good friends with them for many, many years. They make some amazing freedom-based music. All about individual empowerment and taking control of you and fighting against the system by not fighting with the system.
Yeah. Well, it's the internal battle is what I want to resolve. You know, that when you keep fighting, is the fight really about them? Is it about them, or is it something that you haven't resolved in your position, you're at your place in life? So I don't want this to get fragmented. I want to make clear, I don't want to make sense, and these coming shows that will explain how this process works, I would like to encourage the audience to prepare themselves for writing me questions, because like I do with our show on Wednesdays, the Your Health and Mine, that's from 12 to 2 in Central Time. If you send me the email that says RBN in the subject title, then to my Accutone1, that's ACUTONE1@yahoo.com, I'll bring it up in the show and answer those questions, you know, kind of like Dear Abby, remember that? How do I fix my husband? Abby, you know, what's wrong with him? He doesn't have any motivation. He doesn't want to take the garbage or the dog out. He just sits in his chair and he's moping all the time. Help me, Abby. And, you know, that was back in those days. Okay. So anyway, that's where I want to go with this. I want to get questions from the audience, and I want to give you the foundation so that I get some clarity in terms of where we're headed, because that's what I see a great deficiency in, where we are going. You know, is it going to be where we finally beat up the other people to pound them into submission? You know, is that really what we're trying to achieve in our stage of evolution? Well, that's over with. You know, that's done. Now I'm looking forward to your feedback, Michael, on what I'm asking and the audience to participate in. But how does that resonate with you? I know you said you agree with this, but can you see why I have problems with so many of the media, the shows? Is that they're very just they're seduced by the problem. they're not thinking that, oh, okay, give me something that I can work with now. But it's that old pattern that says that fear comes up, right? It's going to come up. And whenever fear does come up, approach it cautiously, right? Don't just jump into, oh, it's a grandiose thing I'm going to do and, you know, make that big adjustment. And, you know, I mean, that oftentimes fails. It's that approach it cautiously, be aware that there's something you don't understand. And when we get to where the root of the problems have been for you, I'm speaking in third person, you know, when somebody comes and asks the question, well, why is it that I've been living my life for others? Why have I been so a lack of satisfaction? Why have I been taking my energy and putting it where I've been told and programmed to put it? Does it really serve a purpose? And if it does, great. You say, then you have a reason to go there. And I perfectly understand if someone says that I want to try something to see where it takes me, that's fine. But if you know better, don't go dummy up. How does that all sound?
Yeah, there's no reason to harm yourself, to damage yourself, to send yourself down a path that you don't need to go. And people do it so often, just thinking of political and social things that hang over us and we're bombarded with every single day. They let these things get in the way, and they let these things be more important than what they know themselves to be. And that really causes a you know, that sort of schism thing in the brain there. And it drags you down, and at the same time pulls you away from that feeling of trust and self-worth in you, the individual. And we're going to get deeper into all these things. I'm certain, I have no doubt, but you specifically, okay. So no, you specifically asked me about, you know, my position on, the information that we get. And that's what I started to talk about right there, is everything that we're presented with, it comes from a negative angle. If you go through and do what I do, if you use YouTube for more than just watching sort of rock and roll videos, and that I do use it for just a little bit more than that. Mostly just playing along with rock and roll music. I'll turn on the YouTube and just sort of let it randomly go, and I'll just play along with whatever pops up. But if you use YouTube for anything else, if you use it for information, and if people haven't figured this out yet, this is where the information is at. YouTube is it. I mean, they're everything. If you want to know about something, it's on YouTube, whether it's mainstream, whether it's alternative, what have you. If you want to know about it, it's on YouTube. It's up there. The information can be found. And even if you use the technology well, even if you are smart about it, you will still, and I am, you will still see that even the ones who are doing the best work, and that you want to follow and that you want to listen to and you want to hear their information, they're still prone to using hyperbole, and they're still prone to using fear. Everything is a negative. Instead of the best of 2026 so far, it's, well, what's wrong with 2026 so far? What's the problems with 2026 so far? And again, where's the solution? Because they're not necessarily providing that. They're only reporting for the hype. They don't really have a solution, because they're not. Well, there's no solution within the system. And anybody who's done anything at all, it knows that this is the case now, that there's no solution through the system, generally speaking. And so there's a huge disconnect in what people are saying is wrong and what they're doing about it. I see it all the time across all of the social media, across all the presentations. these people will sit down and they'll have the conversation, whether it's a Joe Rogan or it doesn't matter, but Joe Rogan is just like the most famous, I guess, right now. Mm-hmm. And he has all these people and he sits down and he has these conversations with them. And they're usually fairly enlightened conversations that never, ever address the problem, the heart of the problem. So, that's, of course, you can never get to the heart of the solution. They always dance around, well, this thing's a problem, this thing's a problem, and this happens, and this happens. They always dance around saying the obvious, that government has made it worse. Or when they do say that government has made it worse, it's this government. It's that government. It's not all government. It's not the very notion of wealth redistribution, of power redistribution, of centralized authority. They always, they're always one step away from ever saying that. It's funny because Michael Malice is apparently this well-known anarchist. He calls himself an anarchist. I remember watching him years ago on some episode of Joe Rogan. And he just popped up and there's this guy called Michael Malice and I didn't know who he was and they didn't say specifically that he was an anarchist and they're just talking and I'm like, I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, wow, this guy is like a week, 6 months tops away from being an anarchist. And then I come to find out that he calls himself an anarchist and he's still just another guy who claims he's against the system, but then still supports all of the things that empower the system, the things that take away power from the individual, that take away the health and well-being from the individual and turn that over to the state. No, I don't have a problem with the way information's presented these days. Not at all.
That's what I was saying is that they realize that the cage, it's like a mouse that lives in a cage all its life, right? And it knows its border. It, you know, has its food. It has its, you know, bedding, and it has its water. And then you, one day you take the cage and you take it away. It has its bedding. It has everything there, but it doesn't have to stay in the cage. And what does it do? It never leaves that perimeter. It stays within that limit. So it's as if the cage is gone now, but what are people doing? They're still living like they're in one. That's what you're talking about. This, he's talking about against it, but it's only to create a kind of, it's a seducing message because people are drawn to their fears, Michael. And you know that when you get that energy that is drawing them in, that you... that's when they're malleable. That's when you can control them. That's when you can, you know, get them to feed off of their, that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve consciousness and you can't serve fear. You can't serve both, you know? So I'm looking forward to this next series. There'll be the next five discussions that I'll be having that cover these topics of heart mastering, and I call it the heart of the matter. And Dr. Rosen and I had put together in the Evolving the Species. He created the foundation, and I made my contributions. So this is going to be a really wonderful series, and I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Same. I was excited when you approached me with the idea, and you know, because what was my response was, "What do you see? Is it all planned out already? Are we ready to roll, or do we need to work it out? Because we're getting to the heart of the matter. I think it's important. I really do. I'm tired of people suggesting that there's not a solution, that there's not an answer, that we all have to do this alone and there's no hope. These are all the losing arguments. These are the arguments of of those who are in control. They want you to think this way, and they want you to believe that everything is so much more complicated than it really is. You mentioned that earlier in the show, is that there's a certain degree of overcomplication that's associated with all of this. It's given. I find it to be people sort of trying to protect their own job, gatekeepers almost, in a lot of ways. That's what we're dealing with, because they don't want to let go. If you've ever, I don't know if you've worked in an office or know somebody who's worked in an office, that this is one of those things that happens. There's always at least one, if not many of them, running around in an office where there's somebody who knows how to do these small businesses, small-minded small businesses. There's always somebody running around who only has their job because they're the only person who can do their job. And the only reason that is because they've kept, you know, certain information or things to themselves. They've not shared it with others in the hopes of protecting their own worthless jobs. And that's government in a nutshell. That's the conversation that is the topic of government, because that's what it does. It's a racket. It's racketeering. It's a conversation that one of my most recent episodes is about, that you can go and look for. It's about ultimately about, can the state protect us? But that is that protection racket. And you start thinking about that. Well, the state is a protection racket. Well, what is a racket? Well, a racket is racketeering. Well, what is racketeering? Well, racketeering is, it's, I don't know. You can kind of look at it as sort of that argument of putting yourself or something, just because it happens, that the things that follow afterward are a direct result of that thing. And it's fallacious thinking, and it's gangster style manipulation of reality. And it's also time for us to wrap this up. So,
okay. Yeah. Excellent. Just to make one quick comment to what you just said, is that insecurity with these people, they overstructure. They always overcompensate. They make it too difficult. It's, you know, and then what happens? It breaks.
Because it's not that complicated, and people are struggling and putting their energy in the wrong place, like we're always talking about. Dr. Lloyd, always a pleasure to chat with you, my friend, and I can't wait for us to get into this little five-parter called The Heart of the Matter, and we'll do it next time. We'll start off with self-worth. Dr. Dean Lloyd, evolvingthespecies.com, Cruising the Epiphany Highway, the book by Am Rosen. You can pick it up there at evolvingthespecies.com. And Dr. Lloyd, have a fantastic week. I'm so excited about this, and I will talk to you on Wednesday.
Excellent. Thank you again, Michael. Take care.
Everybody else, take care. We'll see you next time.
Do you have any advice for newlyweds?
Yeah. Cool. When did you guys get married?
10 months ago.
10 months ago. Well, congratulations. That's a lovely thing. Well done. I'll answer this boringly. Just be of service. Don't think about, as individuals, don't think about what you want. Think about what you have to offer. We all got to serve someone, right? Might as well be the other half. Might as well be the person you love. I think people... Esther Perel. Do you know Esther Perel? She's very good on relationships. Brilliant writer. And she's got this brilliant thing about, it's not 50-50 in a relationship, ever. Some days you come home and you're a 10. You're exhausted, you're tired, and your partner needs to be a 90. They need to make dinner and take care of the laundry and do everything for you. And some days you come home and you're a 60 and they're a 40, you're a 30, they're a 70. You need to kind of match up. And then on aggregate, it works out to 50-50 over a long enough timescale. Good luck.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy.